All right, good evening. Everybody doing good? All right. Got my buddy Scott starting to walk in the door there. You could turn it down just a little bit. Well, I'll tell you what, the last couple of Torah portions has been really leading us up to what's really coming, and it's right around the corner, getting us ready. Getting us ready for Pesach. I'm excited about it. I just want to start off with, I had a dream the other night. I've been praying to Yeshua. I've just been asking him, you know, we've been talking about, you know, you can get with Yeshua and you can ask him anything you need and he'll help you. He'll give you an understanding if you need it because he's our living Torah. He's the one we need to really go to because he's the living Torah and he can help us in anything we're ill. Where the trouble's at, because we're learning through this Torah portion that illnesses can come through an inward that we're doing wrong and transgressing the Torah. And so he'll tell us and show us what we need to do to fix whatever we have going on in our lives. And I've been asking him, I said, if there's anything, any way of communication and talk. And the other night, I went to sleep. And I had a dream this year that was really significant. It's like he just stuck out. And it just kind of matched a lot of scriptures that I had to share it with Pastor, and he explained it through the scriptures. And I had a dream the other night, and it was really significant. It was a real short dream, and I'm going to share it. I didn't know if I should share it or not, but when I had the dream, there was so much symbolism in it compared to what we're going through and where we're headed to. I've been applying it to my life the last couple of days, and it's been matching. So here's the dream, and I'll explain most of what I can through what it talks about in the Torah and our Torah portions. I had a dream that I come before a sovereign. Everybody knows what a sovereign is. We learn as a king. And I had a request from the king to fix a little hinge door that he had. And so I got there and I started working on this hinge door that he had. And it was made out of cheap plastic. And I kept trying to work on it and fix it, but it kept crumbling in my hands. And I kept telling the sovereign, I want to get something else to fix it. And he says, no, don't use that. It's cheap. Buy expensive. It lasts. Come on. Get expensive. It lasts. And I was like, okay, so I was going to go run out and get the expensive stuff. And I looked, and there was this lady. I can tell she was a servant. And she was out collecting curtains. She was collecting linen. And she was folding it up and putting it in a basket. I was watching her as she worked real diligently, putting all these curtains, and they were blue. They were all blue curtains, and there was white linen. She kept putting them in there, folding them up nice and neat, and she's working real hard. And I started asking her a lot of questions. And it wasn't pertaining to what she was doing. And it seemed like she didn't want to ignore me. She looked at me, but she kept being diligent about what she had in mind and what she had to do. She just kept working hard. And I went and observed the curtains and the linens. And there were stains all over them. Stains all over these curtains and all over these linens. And there was another servant girl working. And I asked, I said, what's up with this servant girl? Where's she from? Who is she? And she said, she's been an orphan from birth. All she's ever known to make a living is to work really hard. She knows nothing of luxury. At all. And she comes and works for the king and does everything he says. And she doesn't pay attention to anything else. She doesn't let things distract her. She stays adamant about what she does, and she does it well. I was like, wow, that's interesting. So I got there and I worked, fixed what I needed to fix, and we're all leaving. And we come out the palace, and the two servant girls were going towards the car. And I asked them another question. And I don't know what I asked, but the servant girl that I had been looking at, she turned around and she spoke many Hebrew words I couldn't understand. Except the last few. I could understand those a little bit. She said, Twilight, Bokato. And I said, Twilight, Bokato? She said, Twilight, Bokato. I said, is that Passover? Passover? She says, Pesach. Pesach, twilight, Bokato, Pesach. And I was like, I got it. Twilight, Bokuto, Pesach. And so I woke up immediately and I was saying it to myself. I was saying, Twilight, Bokuto, Pesach. So I know what Twilight is. I know what Bokuto is. Good morning. And I know what Pesach is. So I sat down at the table. I told my wife. And I was explaining it to her. I didn't understand the dream much at all at first. But I said, Twilight, Bokuto, Pesach. And Casey says, Twilight, Dad, that's when Yeshua died. I said, that's what you said? She said, that's when Yeshua died. I said, Twilight. Then we got Passover coming. I said, Pesach. And then we got Good Morning. Bokuto. And so I started putting these things together during the week. And I'm like, man, you know, we're working hard getting the bread, getting all that ready. We got unleavened bread. We got Passover coming up. And today was the day that we picked, me and my wife, to go get our outfits for Passover, Pesach. And I started thinking about that dream. He said, buy expensive, get it nice. So I'm going to be presenting me and my family towards the king. And so I want to look nice. I want us to dress nice. And then those curtains had those stains, and the linen had the stains on. We need to work hard. Just like that servant girl worked really hard at what she was doing, serving the king. We need to serve Yeshua and do what he's saying, just like you know, the chief priest, the priest, and him as our high priest, and go to him and ask him what we need to do to remove whatever it is that's bugging us, bothering us. And so I was thinking about all those things today as we're going into this. And then I started thinking about what Pastor said the other night. You know, he made mention, there's things that I had in my life when I walked in this church 22 years ago that I couldn't get rid of. I tried to get rid of them. And there was only one way to get rid of them, and we learned it right now. We had to go before our high priest, and he could take it away. And we could put on what's right. And I didn't know and understand any of what we know now back then. But now I understand clearly there was drugs in my life I was addicted to, I couldn't get rid of. And then just like you turn a water faucet off, I had no more cravings for it anymore. No more cravings. It was incredible. My back hurt me. My stomach hurt me. I was full of anxieties. And he took all that away. And then my language started changing as I would read the Bible. And lo and behold, I didn't know it was called the Torah. I didn't know it was what we know now more clearly of what it is. Couldn't put our finger on it quite right, but that's what happened. And so how much more that we may have in our lives right now that Yeshua, we go before our high priest, we can get rid of it. Leading up to Pesach, we got stuff on us that come upon us from a spiritual and a physical, things bothering us and hindering us because of things we said, things we've done. There's a little thing I read the other day from a Jewish perspective on Lashon Hara. And I thought it was pretty interesting. There was a visitor who came to inquire about Teshuva for his Lashon Hara against a fellow Jew. After listening to the sinner, he asked him to acquire a pillow stuffed with feathers and to come back the next day. Puzzled by such request, the sinner had no choice but to obey and acquire such a pillow. The next day, he ordered the sinner to go up to the rooftop, and then he ordered the sinner to tear apart the pillow and let the feathers fly away. The wind carried the thousands of feathers all over the town and reached its outskirts. Then he asked the sinner to collect all the feathers from the entire town. And then the sinner then understood how impossible such a task is. This story came to teach us that when we speak Lashon Hara about someone, it can and will spread like a wildfire as the feathers did, and we can never undo such a sin. We must always control our tongue that delivers such words. You can't collect all those feathers back. They go throughout the whole town, and our tongue is like a fire. And so going through these Torah portions and thinking about Lashon Hara as we go through them each day, and we get out there in conversations and we're talking to one of our brothers, our sisters, and one name would pop up, you pause and think about it. Before I let this loose, I can't get them back. And then it's going to carry on the wind like a bird and carry it to the next one, to the next one, and to the next one. And so I found myself every now and again, I would spit something out and I would stop dry and say, "Man, Yeshua, I'm so sorry. Please don't let that go out there like feathers. Don't let it go out there and get back to another ear, because it's going to cause damage in the body, in the community, and then cause me to have something in my life and an illness that I don't need. I really don't need no more than what I already got to get rid of." And so it's really helped me all week long in all these Torah portions. Again, the Torah teaching is understanding Yah's likes and his dislikes. Going back a couple Torah portions, we talked about Tzav. There was a command. Tzav, command, had the, you know, we talk about the Hebrew letters are the numbers, the letters, and hold a pictograph meaning. And it's really helpful whenever you just read one Hebrew word and the command. It also tells you in Tzadi and Vav, there's a righteous man connected. So it's a command, a righteous man connected to Yehovah. And then we talked about Levav. Levav is the heart and the mind. We talked about the mind has always got either something sinful, it transgresses the Torah, or it could be of the Torah, and it can bring blessings and not curses. And so we got to be careful when we have our thoughts. It says, cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of Yehovah. Because some of those things, if we let it drop into our heart, talk about once you let it in our heart, it can bring grief, it can bring hardness. And if it stays there and lingers long enough and we keep disobeying, we learn that Metzorah can come, a disease. And so now here we are. Let me go to that one. Metzorah, the Hebrew for one being diseased. And you know, you can go look up online and find each one of these letters and their meaning. I went and did that because there's a couple of Torah portions that they'll have it for you, but there's a couple of them that don't. And I drew interest in wanting to know because we already had it on ones prior to that. That's how I learned Tzav, command, a righteous man connected. And it sticks once you learn it. And so I want to know what Metzorah was. So I went and looked it up, and it's Mem, Zadi, Resh, and Ayin. And Mem is the waters, massive, many chaos, like the deep. Zadi is a fish hook to pull towards. It's inescapable, trouble, a righteous man. Resh is a head, a person, a chief. And then Ayin is the eye, appearance, to see, experience, and to be seen. And when you write this out, it's a massive outbreak that is inescapable on a person and appearance that can be seen. Metzorah, one being diseased. And it's all right there. And I'm sure you can go do the numerical value on it. I didn't have time to do any of that. We got a lot of other stuff and enough stuff to do to get to the point to get the Pesach. You know, the story of Gehazi stuck really good, especially when we got into some details that I had never seen before. And I put myself in that spot, just like him. You know, you go and mess around when you know better not to do it, and you get it all over you, and you got to get it off. And you got to that spot. You got to that place where you had a change of heart, thinking about he could have took it for himself, back to being selfish again and greed. But he already knew what it brought him already. He was already in the middle of it. And he started thinking about other people. And that's what happens whenever we be obedient. We start fixing ourselves and find out this is what Yehovah is like. He loves people. And this is going to benefit somebody else. And you start thinking about others more than yourself. And so that's what I got out of Gehazi. It was real helpful in us going to all these Torah portions. Pastor Josh gave a great example. I've been using that this week too. Make sure, just like those linens that were dirty in the dream, things that in my life, those stones with mildew on them, to remove them out of our heart. And Yeshua can help us remove them all. So removing the stones and the plague on the stones from our house. We are the temple of Elohim. We're going to start in slide 97, where we left off. I think it's 96. Yep, pronounce clean. Pronounce clean. Matthew chapter 8, verse 3. We read of the account where Yeshua healed some lepers and told them to go and allow the rest of these instructions that we are reading. Can't see the full screen with it like this. I got it now. Yeah, I had to click on it. The rest of it was covering up. Okay. So Matthew 8, 3, we read of the account where Yeshua healed some lepers. And he told them to go and follow the rest of these instructions that we're reading in this chapter of Leviticus 14. And we're told to go and offer the gifts that Moshe had prescribed. What we must take note of at this point here is that in this account in Matthew 8, Yeshua could certainly heal them, yet, as he was not yet the high priest, it was not yet his role to pronounce someone clean, and so he sent them to go to the priest, and he gave them the command, be cleansed. Matthew 8, 1, and when he came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him, and see, a leper came and bowed before him, saying, Master, if you desire, you are able to make me clean. And stretching out his hand, Yeshua touched him, saying, I desire it, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Yeshua said to him, see, mention it to no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moshe commanded as a witness to them. And now today we can do as he did. We can go to Yeshua and say, do you desire? And he does. He desires cleanse whatever it is that's troubling us, whatever's going on in our heart that we need to remove in the same way. But at this point right here, he couldn't yet. He hadn't gone to the Father yet. And after his death and resurrection, Yeshua became our high priest in the order of Melchizedek. When we come to him and confess our sins, he not only heals us from our iniquities, but also pronounces us clean as he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The sprinkling of 7 times on him who is to be cleansed speaks of a complete cleansing. And so we see how 7, meaning completion or fullness as well as rest, shows how we are fully cleansed by the blood of Messiah and are now able to enter his rest, his completed work, and continue walking in him as we continue to work out our deliverance with fear and trembling. The live bird. When we talk about the bird, we think about all the rams, the lambs, the bulls, the bullocks, and all those things that had to take place. And, you know, backing up to here, even talking about this, working out our deliverance, there's something behind us saying we're sorry. We got this problem in our life. We once followed our flesh. I followed my flesh, and it got me in a lot of trouble, and I needed some help. So I met Yeshua. And he led me to the Father's Word, to the Torah. And so when we've been talking about putting the blood on the ear, putting the blood on the thumb, and the blood on the toe, it has a symbolism and significance. It talks about the hearing, listening. You listen to what I tell you, listen. And then your hands, they work either for yourself or they serve Yehovah and do what he says. And then the feet. Think about the feet. I'm 7 steps ahead of you when you're asking to guide your footsteps, let my footsteps be ordered by Yehovah. See, we walk in our own footsteps at one time. We walk towards where we're cursed, wasn't blessed. We got sicknesses and illnesses, and was working towards destruction and death, plague. But now, he cleanses us. He cleanses us and gives us the Torah to correct it and to fix it. That's going to bring us life, peace. And everything that he says from, not only from this point on, but that's why we're going to have Pesach forever. Because it's the family gathering to always be remembered. What has been done for us to bring us back into the family, and it's going to go into eternity. You know, everything on this earth, in this world, is darkness. And it's all rebellious, and it's against the Torah. It breaks the Torah. And it's going away. Heaven and earth, all this stuff is going to go away that's pertaining to its curse. The only reason why we're alive today is because of his mercy and grace and wanting us to make it into the family. He wants us to live. And so we're being held by Yeshua and blocked from the penalty that's supposed to really be upon us. We really should be dead. We really shouldn't be alive. We should be dead. But we have that hand being held. Yeshua is holding that go-between for us and the whole world and whosoever will. But that time's going to come. That if we still got it on us and we're not listening and being disobedient, the sun's going to rise either with healing in its wings or it's going to burn us up with all the wicked. So all the wicked will be burned up, but all the righteous will be saved. And that's what he says. That's what it's going to lead to. So the live bird being let loose, so getting back to my point, it went towards the animals rather than towards you. It went towards the birds rather than towards you. Whatever was sacrificed, it went towards that rather than to you. The animal was a sacrifice temporarily for us. Now Yeshua's done gone to the Father, and he's there for us now. We don't have to do those things anymore. But like we've been talking about, it's important for us to know these things, what you would have had to go through if that hadn't happened for us today. And that's why we're going to appreciate Yeshua this week coming. The live bird being let loose in the open field can also be a picture of us, the body of Messiah, who being cleansed and marked forever by the blood of the Lamb, must go out into the harvest field and bring in a bountiful harvest of souls to Messiah. Every time I get on that boat, the morning before, I say, Father, I got people that's going to be on my boat. I don't know them inside or out. All I know is what they show me on the outward. And if it's the day to talk about it, talk about it. If it's just to be salt and light, I'll be salt and light. Whatever you want to do, they're really important. And I got people that I've been taking fishing for the past 3 or 4 years that one guy, he's full of all kind of cancers and stuff. And so we talking back and forth. I'm praying for him, praying for him. And so I'm always asking the Father, is this an opportunity? And the Father's like, don't ever pass up an opportunity. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Don't just say, well, tomorrow, what about today? So I was able to share a great conversation about Yeshua with this guy, just in case, because I don't want to miss an opportunity. And that's what it's talking about here. In Psalms 51, Dawid prays to be cleansed with the hyssop and cries out for restoration and asks that he, in a cleansed state, will be sent to teach sinners the ways of Yehovah so that they turn back to Yehovah. Every opportunity. I only have so much time. I look on Facebook, how many obituaries you see come up? Obituary for this one. Obituary for that one. People aren't living forever. People die. They die. More so now than I've ever seen. I've never seen so many obituaries on Facebook last month that I've seen. I'm like, wow, this is... So, we'll be sent to teach the sinners the way of Yehovah so that they turn back to Yehovah. Being cleansed and restored carries a great responsibility for us, and we recognize our need to call others to repentance as we teach them the ways of Yehovah. Verse 8, first inspection. Part of the cleansing process required that the one being cleansed would shave off his hair and wash his garments, wash in water, and then he would be clean and then be able to come into the camp, but stay outside of his tent for 7 days. Here we see a wonderful picture of cleansing oneself and acknowledging who is master and head of your life. I shared with that guy also, we're talking about, in the Hebrew, I said in our Torah portion, we're talking about people that had leprosy. So they were put outside the camp, was an incurable disease. I said the only way that they could be cured is to go back to the priest, and it was God's ways to get them back, and it only had to be that way. And I said, in similarities today, I said, you know, there's things that we do to cause and affect things that happen to our lives that we can't control, you know, that we can't get rid of. But there is one, we have a Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, and we can go towards him and ask him to help us and get through something that's beyond us. How can we get out of it? And there's many miracles that happen that help people to be healed. And so the leprous person would have to follow the instructions because it was from a spiritual heart inward that came out on the outward. And so if they truthfully were sorry and they truthfully forgave who did whatever it was they had to do to get back to where they needed to be, Gehazi was the great example. they could be cured from their leprosy because they had a heart change. Got to have the heart change. And Yehovah looks and inspects to see. Yeshua inspects to see. He's a high priest. He sees a change in the heart. Then he'll restore and give and help. But it's not going to be. And so there's a change of heart. And so I'm working on myself. If you don't change it, don't expect a good result. It's going to stay there and stay there and stay there until you correct it. And I'm asking Yeshua to help me, like the things when I first walked in, because I couldn't fix them. And he took them away. Had a heart change. Here we see a wonderful picture of cleansing oneself and acknowledging who is master and head of your life. By shaving all the hair off your head, you would be recognizing that you have been walking in disobedience to the headship of Yehovah, transgression of the Torah, and his instructions over your life, and show that you strip away all selfishness and pride, and is a great picture of putting off that which ruled over us. Remember what he told Cain? Don't let it rule over you. It lies at the door. You keep going that way and let it rule over you, it's going to cause a lot of trouble. You're not going to like it. You're going to do things you wish you hadn't done, and he did. He killed his brother and wished he hadn't done that. But he let it fester and fester and fester. Anger, anger, anger. Never deal with it. And before you know it, he went and struck his brother out of anger. And oh, look what I did. He really didn't want to do that. But you let the flesh be in control. It'll lead you on a journey you don't want to go on. And I'm sure that feels the same ones that had that leprosy back then. I'm sure it felt terrible looking. You didn't have a hand there. Your hand was missing. The whole side of your face might have been missing. Or you walk around with just a nub for a leg. By shaving all the hair off your head, you would be recognizing that you have been walking in disobedience to the headship of Yehovah and his instructions over your life, and show that you strip away all selfishness and pride as a great picture of putting off that which ruled over us. Be it our own attitudes of selfishness and pride, or lustful walking in the flesh, or even the following of others in the error of their ways. Be careful who will follow. Washing clothes speaks of cleaning up our lives and our daily living ways that are contrary to Torah, and putting on clean garments of praise and worship. Defiled or dirty garments are a picture of sin. So I had in a dream. Stuff was dirty and stained. Defiled or dirty garments are a picture of sin, and cleansing one's garments is also a picture of taking responsibility to go and make right those things that are within our ability and power to do, be it restoring broken relationships, paying or restoring back that which was done wrong in the error of our own sinful ways. The washing of water, as we have learned over and over, is the picture of the washing of the Word and being immersed in the Word that cleanses and teaches us how to live straight and upright before Yehovah. For a sinner coming to repentance of walking in disobedience and falsified worship practices, this cleansing or washing of water can also symbolize the immersion, mikvah, into Messiah, for a putting off of the old, putting on the new. And our goal is to do like Yeshua did, get back into the image of Yehovah. The selfless, loving God, Elohim, that he is, and the way he made all creation from the beginning, to get it back where it belongs. And all of these shaving and cleansing of the clothes and body, we see how this shows that we surrender and submit to Messiah, our head, and allow his word to clean us up. And so what we see already being portrayed in the chapter thus far is the simple fact that this very Torah of cleansing is very much alive and applicable to us today. This cleansing speaks of a dying to self and a putting away what should not be part of us, and being dressed in clean garments of righteousness. Verse 9, on the seventh day. Again, we see the instruction to shave, but this time it is all the hair of his body, head, beard, eyebrows, all his hair, and wash his garments and body again. This is a picture of a total stripping away as one has undergone initial repentance and immersion. And it's clear that as one grows in the Word, there is a deeper cleansing and stripping away that takes place. As one learns of that which needs to be cleaned up and stripped away, and so we see a greater maturing taking place. And remember, as you're learning and you're You're becoming new in whatever area it is you're working on. You can't stop the Torah for a little while, for a day. You got to stay on it. Because guess what? It's still laying around there. It ain't went nowhere. You go ahead and let that go for a little while. Lose a little bit of practice and you get rusty and it's going to pop up before you know it. A little thing is going to pop up. Something's going to happen. You do it again. You got to stay practicing and practicing and practicing. And it's not easy and it doesn't feel good. I can tell you right now, I got back on playing the guitar a little bit. I'm getting really good at it again. But I tell you what, my fingers hurt so bad. You feel like you poke a needle with them and it'll pop. It doesn't just come easy. It takes practice and practice and practice. And guess what? You're like, my gosh, my fingers are hurting me. But you keep trying and trying and trying. And after a while, those calluses are going to build and it's going to be a piece of cake. Everything has an art to it. The Torah has an art to it. For us working on our flesh. Keep working on it, working on it, working on it. Building the wall, building the wall, building the wall. Before you know it, you don't throw those F-bombs out there no more. I don't even know what that is. I can tell you when I get around people smoking cigarettes, though, it doesn't affect me as me wanting it. I can't stand it. It smothers me. I used to smoke 2 packs a day 22 years ago. Used to smoke 2 packs of Marlboro menthols every day. And I'm telling you, I needed that. I craved that. And one day out of the blue, my wife too, it just went away. But when it went away, it gave me a nasty towards it. Because when it's around me, like they had 4 people on my boat last week, and every one of them was chain smokers. And I'm on my boat and the stuff's in the air. I just had to put up with it because you're loving people. And I got back in. The wind kind of helped out a little bit, but I'm sitting there working on them fish, cleaning them fish. And this one lady, she comes right there. And I mean, I looked like that pile. I said, man, I got 30 more sheep there to clean. I said, ma'am, look, I'm not being ugly. I can't breathe. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry, honey. There's a way to say things that's nice. I don't have to say, hey, get that cigarette off of me, you know. But you say it nice. Like, ma'am, I can't breathe. You're smoking me. So, oh, I'm so sorry. And it went well. She goes, I'm sorry. And that's the nice way to do it. You just got to do it in a nice way. Again, we see the instructions to shave, but this time it's all the hair of his body, head, beard, eyebrows, all his hair, and wash his garments and body again. This is a picture of a total stripping away as one has undergone initial repentance and immersion. And it's clear that as one grows in the Word, there's a deeper cleansing and stripping away that takes place. As one learns of that which needs to be cleaned up and stripped away, and so we see a greater maturing, a maturing take place. As Brother Scott said, I don't drink milk no more. I'm on the meat, but I do like milk in my cereal. This is very interesting to take note is that this procedure in verse 9 is the same procedure that was prescribed for a Nazirite vow. When one who had taken a Nazirite vow, you can go home and study that. You can go look at the story of Samson. It's a good prime example of Samson. All the strict rules that he had that would be like us being set apart. A Nazirite would kind of reflect on us being set apart. We no longer do those things that are in the world anymore. We keep our boundaries. The Torah is our plumb line. It's our boundaries, not to go outside of them. When we talk about the leper had himself in a spot already. And he had to follow the rules to get back to being like, somewhat like a Nazirite, get to being set apart. So they were both alike and the same to get back to that spot. And we'll read about it. Same procedure was prescribed for a Nazirite vow. When one who had taken a Nazirite vow and had finished his period of separation, he would do the same as that which is required by the leper on the seventh day. Seventh day. Keep that in mind. So what can we see from this? Is that through this cleansing process and procedure, both the leper and the Nazirite are in the same position after being separate for different reasons. So what can we see from this is that through this cleansing process and procedure, both the leper and the Nazirite are in the same position after being separate for different reasons. For one, the Nazarite, for the reason of a vow of separation, being set apart for a particular task for the kingdom. And for the other, the leper, for being separated and cleansed from selfishness, sin. You see how it reflects on us getting rid of the flesh? The sinful nature of the flesh? Sin and pride. Now both are, through this process, restored to being an ordinary member of the community body. So what we learn from this is that salvation, deliverance, does not stop at accepting Messiah as Savior and Redeemer, but rather calls for a further cleansing and separation. For the path to the cleansing of a leper is to become more like a Nazarite, meaning that he is to become one who makes a greater commitment to the kingdom and becoming totally set apart, having fully recognized where he was lacking, and does something about it and becoming more and more set apart. So how can this Nazarite be set apart if he has no instructions of how to be set apart? How would a leper come back from being a leper if he has no rules or instructions of how to come back? So you throw the Torah away, how in the world are we going to know what's the rules of the plumb line of to quit doing the things that's leading us to death? We got to have the Torah. Having fully recognized where he was lacking and does something about it and becoming more and more set apart. Having to live outside of his tent but still be in the community for 7 days is a picture of complete cleansing and witness to all of one's true repentance. There's a 7-day period to work on things. You know, not just Wednesday night, Friday night, Shabbat, Saturday. That's just a scratch on the surface. We're being weaned off of what was and moving towards knowledge. We have to have the knowledge of the Torah to fix it and put it on. It's a 7-day period to get to the 8th day. Then the 8th day, everything you learn for 7 days, you put it in the practice all that day and try hard not to break not one and do the best you can on what you learned, and it starts another whole process again. The 8th day will come. You have a millennial to work on it, and then the 8th day will come. It all matches with the scripture. All the puzzle pieces fit. They're not contrary to one another. They're not positive and negative. You don't have to do away with nothing. They all fit from the beginning until the end. He's the end from the beginning from the end. It all goes together and fits. Having to live outside of his tent but still be in the community for 7 days is a picture of complete cleansing and witness to all of one's true repentance. This is a cleansing of the inner parts that Dawid refers to, in a sense, where everything done in secret will be published on the rooftops and is a reflection of one's actions living up to the confession of repentance. I see these two cleansing procedures as a picture on the two comings of Messiah. At his first coming, he poured out his life. That was supposed to be us. He poured out his life. Supposed to be us. But he poured out his life. And by his blood, we have access to the body. And as high priest, he has pronounced us clean. Yet on the 7th day, when he comes again, will he find a people who are like the Nazarite, been totally set apart for the kingdom? Jehovah doesn't put that in his word for nothing. On the 7th day is the final day of our total cleansing in Messiah, when our deliverance will be made complete. However, if we have not undergone the first cleansing, then we are unable to be counted for the 7th day cleansing. So a salvation ticket, without moving forward doing anything else, you're still unclean. You're still not clean. There's a process you have to go through to be clean. Messiah paid that price. We can get rid of all the leprosy, all the wrong, all the junk. And we can start putting on the Torah and live a daily and start bringing in blessing, bringing in life. On a 7-day period, then the 8th day, then he comes, work on a millennial all the way to that 8th day. Count the cost. On the 8th day, the leper who was cleansed had to take 2 lambs, 1 ewe lamb and 3/10 of an ephah, of flour mixed with oil and a log of oil to the priest. Now, even in today's economy, that is an expensive the tax. Expensive. The eighth day speaks of complete and lasting cleansing, which by the blood of Messiah we have the assurance of eternal, everlasting life. The blood of Messiah is the most precious, most expensive thing that you can ever have. It's more than gold, more than anything that this whole earth could ever offer. It's for life eternal, everlasting life. And so with all that being said, I'd like to move on to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 20. Because this all ties in. So we're cleaning up and getting ready for Pesach. And then we're going to have our 50 days, Shavuot, working all the way to Yom Teruah. We've got a process to go through to get there. And Yehovah has given us His Son. He's trying everything He can to get us into the family where we belong, by getting us back. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 20. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the reign of Elohim? Do not be deceived. Neither those who whore, nor idlers, nor adulterers, nor infamous, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor greedy of gain, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers shall inherit the reign of Elohim. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were set apart. But you were declared right in the name of the Master Yeshua, and by the Spirit of our Elohim. All is permitted me, but not all do profit. All is permitted me, but I shall not be under authority of any. He was living in it just like we're living in it. And he had all the freedom to do what he chose, free will. I can go and do anything I want. I could participate in the worldly things, and I could do all those things. All is permitted me, but not all profit. All is permitted me, but I shall not be under authority of any. Foods for the stomach, and stomach for foods. But Elohim shall destroy both it and them. And the body is not for whoring. See, he knew the difference. The body is not for whoring, but for the Master. And the Master for the body. And Elohim, who raised up the Master, shall also raise us up through his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Messiah? Shall I then take the members of Messiah and make them members of a whore? Let it not be. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a whore is one body? For he says, the two shall become one flesh. And he who is joined to the Master is one spirit. Flee whoring. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits whoring sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the dwelling place of the set-apart spirit who is in you, which you have from Elohim, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore esteem Elohim in your body and in your spirit, which are of Elohim. So for us to be doing what we're doing right now, go back a whoring, it'll start destroying us. It'll eat us alive because this is the temple of Elohim. It can't survive. Curse, mildew, and blight will come against our bodies for whoring and doing the things that we once did before that brings us nothing but death. So to go back, this is like he says, a dog returned to his own vomit. You're bringing yourself back into eating death again. It doesn't profit you anything. It has no nutrients in it. It has nothing in it but death in it. And plus, it's the body of Elohim. It's the temple. It's the body of Yeshua. So to go to whoring is taking us away from the Torah, and the Torah will destroy us. It goes against those that are going against it, and it feeds and gives life and blessing to those who obey it and do what it says. So we got to listen to Him. We cannot have it on us. We have to be clean. The destroyer will do all what he said. So we must be prepared. You think about that. So I want to bring us back to Exodus. There's a destroyer. Exodus chapter 12. So we must be prepared. Our life, and we talked about others, depend on it. It's in the Torah portion. It's in the Corinthians, which is what I just read. Exodus 12, 1 through 51. And you know, we're going to be going through over this. So since we're going to be going over this anyhow, let's just get a little pre going here. It says, Exodus chapter 12, 1 through 51. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe and Aharon in the land of Mishrim, saying, this new moon is the beginning of new moons for you. We've been looking at this, right? It's coming up. Everything's here. Coming up. It is the first new moon of the year for you. Speak to all the congregation of Yisrael, saying, on the 10th day of this new moon, each one of them is to take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to each man's need. You make your count for the lamb. Let the lamb be a perfect one, a year old male. Take it from the sheep, from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same new moon. Then all the assembly of the congregation of Israel shall slay it between the evenings. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. And they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire. Gotta remember all these great details. With unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its inward parts. And do not leave it until morning. What remains of it until morning, you're to burn with fire. This is how you eat it. Your loins girded, sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Pesach of Yehovah. And I shall pass through the land of Mishrim on that night and shall strike all the firstborn of the land of Mishrim, both man and beast. And on all the mighty ones of Mishrim I shall execute judgment. I am Yehovah, and the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I shall pass over you. And let the plague not come on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Mishrim. And this day shall become to you a remembrance. And you shall celebrate it as a festival to Yehovah throughout your generations. Celebrate it as a festival, an everlasting law. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Indeed, on the first day you cause leaven to cease from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that being shall be cut off from Yisrael. And on the first day is a set-apart gathering. And on the seventh day, you have a set-apart gathering. No work at all is to be done on them, only that which is eaten by every being that alone is prepared by you. And you shall guard the festival of Matzah, for on the same day I brought your divisions out of the land of Mishrim. And you shall guard this day throughout your generations, an everlasting law. In the first month, on the 14th day of the new moon, in the evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the new moon in the evening. For 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your houses. For if anyone eats what is leavened, that same being shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether sojourner or native of the land. Do not eat that which is leavened. In all your dwellings, you are to eat unleavened bread. And Moshe called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, go out and take lambs for yourselves according to your clans and slay the Pesach. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And you, none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. And Yehovah shall pass on to smite the Mishrites, and shall see the blood of the lintel and on the two doorposts. And Yehovah shall pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you shall guard this word, Shema, this word, Shema, this word, as a law for you and your sons forever. How long? Forever. It says forever. And it shall be when you come to the land which Yehovah gives you, as he promised, that you shall guard this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, what does this service mean to you? Then you shall say, it is the Pesach slaughtering of Yehovah, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Mishraim, when he smote the Mishraites and delivered our households. And the people bowed their heads and did obeisance. And the children of Israel went away and did so, as Yehovah had commanded Moshe and Aharon, so they did. They came to be at midnight, that Yehovah struck all the firstborn in the land of Mishraim, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all the servants, and all the Mishraites, and there was a great cry in Mishraim, for there was not a house where there was not a dead one. Then he called for Moshe and Aharon by night and said, arise, go out from the midst of my people, both of you, the children of Israel, and go serve Yehovah as you have said. Take both your flocks and your herds as you have said and go, and then you shall bless me too. And the Mishraites were strong on the people to hasten to send them away out of the land. For they said, we're all dying. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their garments and on their shoulders. And the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moshe. And they had asked from the Mishraites objects of silver, objects of gold, and garments. And Yehovah gave the people favor in the eyes of the Mishraites, so that they gave them what they asked, and they plundered the Mishraites. The children of Israel set out from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides the little ones. And a mixed multitude went up with them, too, as flocks and herds, very much livestock. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Mishraim, for it was not leavened, since they were driven out of Mishraim, and had not been able to delay, nor had they prepared food for themselves. And the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Mishraim was 430 years. And it came to be at the end of the 430 years, on the same day, it came to be that all divisions of Yehovah went out from the land of Mishraim. It is a night of watches unto Yehovah for bringing them out of the land of Mishraim. This is that night of watches unto Yehovah for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. And Yehovah said to Moshe and Aharon, this is the law of Pesach. No son of a stranger is to eat of it, for any servant of a man has bought for silver, when you have circumcised him, then let him eat of it. A sojourner and a hired servant does not eat of it. It is eaten in one house. You are not to take any of the flesh outside the house, nor are you to break any bone of it. All the congregation of Israel are to perform it. And when a stranger sojourns with you, he shall perform the Pesach to Yehovah. Let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and perform it. And he shall be as a native of the land. But let no uncircumcised eat of it. There is one Torah for the native born and for the stranger who sojourns among you. And all the children of Israel did as Yehovah commanded Moshe and Aharon, so they did. And it came to be on that same day that Yehovah brought the children of Israel out of the land of Mishraim according to their divisions. It's all right there. All the instructions. And so yesterday I was listening, after I read all this, to a song of Malachi 4. And it's word for word. And it had me in a spot, just thinking about excitement and also weeping for that day. Because it's clear and it's very short. It's only a couple of verses, like 6 or 7 verses. In Malachi 4, it says, for look, the day shall come burning like a furnace, and all the proud and every wrongdoer shall be stubble. And the day that shall come shall burn them up, said Jehovah of hosts, which leaves to them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and leap for joy like calves from the stall. And you shall trample the wrongdoers, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, said Yehovah of hosts. Remember the Torah of Moshe. Remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all of Israel. Laws and right rulings. See, I am sending you Elisha, the prophet, before the coming of the great and awesome day of Yehovah. And we all know who that is. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with utter destruction. When I read that, I think about Abraham, Yaakov, Yishak, all our forefathers that died. Remember your forefathers. Remember Elijah. Elijah commanded and commanded and commanded to do this and to do that. Elijah will command you to listen and obey. Warn them. And so when I read that, I'm like, this is where we're heading. This is where we're going. So we've got to keep it all in order according to everything we just read and was prescribed the best that we can. We don't have the 100% Torah in the Hebrew writings, but we're close as we can, and we're doing the best that we can with what we have, trying to pick as close as we can on the days. We've changed the days and fixed the days and made adjustments because we want to get it right. And who knows, as we're getting it right, we come to next year, we get it right on point. We find it. But this is where we are. Father's not going to send us in wrong. He's sending us on the right path. And I'm with him. And he's given us some great leaders under Yeshua HaMashiach, and I'm going to stay with them as long as it lines up with the Torah, what I'm reading, what I'm listening, and follow and obey his instructions. And so every one of these Torah portions is exciting to get into, and we learn more and more and more. So if we have anything else anybody wants to read, share, something I might have missed, we can jump into the next Torah portion now. We got a lot more to get to before the next Torah portion. Believe you me, bro. Scott and Sherry said, hey, bro, you going to be telling me a couple weeks ago? Pesach. Ready for Pesach. So we're going to have Twilight, Bokotov, Pesach. Yeshua is incredible. Ask him. He'll give you something in a dream. He'll show you something. He's incredible.